That's good. It makes me feel at home. So I just want to say a couple of thank yous. First of all, to Preacher, of course, allowing me to come up here and speak. I feel sorry for y'all. I know you probably wanted to see Preacher, but, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, you know, I've learned to get over that. But he texted me this morning and said he was praying for me and stuff, and I really appreciated that. I do understand that it's not easy for him just to give his pulpit up to anybody. And so it means a lot to me that he has confidence in me that I would not mess things up. So hopefully that's what happens. So, you know, I want to say thank you there. Of course, I want to say thank you to my class. They always are praying for me and pulling for me. So many people said, man, we can't wait to hear you and stuff. So if nobody else wants to hear me, they do. So I appreciate it, you know, that they're always behind me. Of course, my family always there, you know, making me feel like a king, and I appreciate them so much. You know, sometimes when I come home from work, this seems so probably corny and silly to you guys, but, you know, I work a lot of hours and stuff and everything. Sometimes when I get home at the end of the day or whatever, the kids are in the living room, and as soon as I come in, they start applauding and everything and stuff, you know. And I'm always like kind of like, what in the world? But then I'm like, that I appreciate that, you know, that I love them. Oh, man, I love them. They're such a blessing to me, so I appreciate it. I appreciate the church. I hope you all know I love our church. I love the people of our church. I'm so glad that I got saved here. I'm so glad I've grown up here. I'm glad that I've been here all these years. You know, it's been over 30 years. You know, it's hard to believe. And it's been a blessing. And I really, so many of you are my friends. And I just think the world of you, and I really, really appreciate being able to preach to the church and just being a member of the church, man. We have a good church. We have a great preacher. We have great people. You know, there's just a lot of good, godly people that come to this place, and none of us are perfect, for sure. You know, you're looking at probably the worst one, but we're trying, and I appreciate having a place like this to go to, and so thank you for being the type of church that I'm proud that my kids attend and are a part of, and so thank you so much. I'm always nervous when I get up here and have to do this, but I'm a little bit extra nervous, if I could say it this way, because I'm going to do something I've never done in all the times that I've preached here. I'm going to try to talk about a subject that I'm not quite sure I'm qualified to talk about. And so I'm nervous in that way because I don't want people to take it the wrong way. I don't want folks to think I think I'm a know-it-all. I don't want people to think that I think I got all the answers and I'm trying to tell you how it is and all this type of stuff, because honest to goodness, I don't think that at all. That's not my heart. That's not what I'm about. If you know me, you would know that. And I'm nervous in that way because I don't know. But if some of you probably remember 2 years ago, last time I preached, preacher mentioned that he wanted me, if is what God wanted me to do, to preach on the family. And I didn't do it because I didn't think it was what God wanted me to do. And honestly, it was because I was scared. And I just thought, you know, there's a lot of people out here that should be talking about that, not me, you know. So I just kind of put it on the back burner. And then my wife was talking to me, and she kind of said the same thing. And, you know, I'm praying about it, and I'm just like, man, Lord, I don't think I should be talking about this type of stuff. But, you know, you ever had those prayers where you're asking God something and he's not answering you back how you expected him to answer you back, you know? And I was just like, yeah, you know, see, I'm being humbled. I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't be doing this, you know? And honestly, I feel like the Lord said, no, you should do it. And so I'm going to attempt to do that. Once again, I'm in the middle of raising a family. I don't have expertise. I don't have any thoughts that are probably any greater than y'all's. I have a Bible. And thank God for it. I'm going to try my best to give you some things that I'm trying to do. I'm going to bring you into my heart. I'm going to bring you into my home. I'm going to show you some things that I'm attempting to do. I say attempting because it's not over for me. I'm attempting to do. And what I'm trying so hard to accomplish. I wish everybody here could understand what it means to me to be a dad. You just don't know. Two of my good friends, Brother Payne, Brother Jameson, are sitting down here. We talk all the time about family and raising kids and things of that nature. And they have a similar background to life that I had. My dad wasn't around. I have no influence to know what a dad should do. But thank God that the word is there to help us. And I think God has shown me some things and helped me with some things. And I am convinced, I am sure of that I want to get this right. I don't want them to experience what I experienced. I want things to be better than what I went through. Now, I am not just going to be talking about children today. I'm going to talk about relationships. But in me talking about relationships, I am going to speak a lot about things that the Lord has brought to my attention and lessons that I have learned and what I'm trying to do. And so please have grace with me. Please don't take this that I'm trying to tell you did something wrong or you don't know what you're doing. The McDonald's were just up here. You don't know how much I respect you, Brother McDonald, and your family. You just don't know. And I would never try to step on a lot of y'all folks' toes that are ahead of me and act like I know something that you don't. But I really honestly want to be a help and a blessing. So if you'll just give me a little bit of grace and just be with me for a little bit, I think I might say something that could be helpful. I'm going to give you a couple of points today. If you want to write stuff down, feel free to do that. Would you look at Genesis chapter number one? Genesis chapter number one, and we'll get started here. Genesis chapter number one. I'm sorry for rambling so much, but as you can tell, I really am nervous about this. So Genesis chapter number one. We're going to read just the first verse. We're going to read a lot of verses as we go through the sermon, but we're just going to read the first at the beginning here. If you wouldn't mind, would you stand with me as we read this verse? Genesis chapter number one and verse number one. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so I want to preach a message today entitled, You Have to Create It. You have to create it. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for these folks for being here. Lord, thank you that they would come when preacher's not here. Thank you that they would give me their attention. And Lord, more than that, that they would give your word their attention. And God, I just ask that your word would do its work. I'm asking that it would do something great on your behalf, Lord. I pray that somebody leaves here different than the way they came. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much. You could be seated. Let me give you a couple of thoughts and we'll get into this. In everything we do, we need to model it after the example of God. As Christians, that is our highest aspiration, to model our lives, the things we do, after God. Okay, so when God does something, it is always with purpose and with care. So it is both proper and useful to learn from God's actions. We see right here in this story that the story of creation and all that was done for man. If you didn't know, man is the ultimate point of creation. Everything that was done before man was created for man. Man was the focal point. God starts to create to make things happen for the what was really the main thing he was trying to create, which was man. And so as he's doing all of this, I believe there were some lessons that could be showed of how he created to get things ready for man. God created an environment that would help man be what he needed to be. Everything he did was with man in mind. So please keep this in your thought process. Everything he did was with man in mind so that man could be what he needed to be. Relationships are very important. I believe sometimes as Christians, we can almost have a false idea about relationships. Like it doesn't really matter. Well, I got a relationship with God. Well, you should have relationships with people too. They are very important. If you don't believe that, may I ask you to go and read Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 1 through 9, or Colossians chapter number 3, verses 18 through Colossians 4, verse number 1. All of those verses have to deal with different relationships that we encounter, and God teaches us that through those relationships, he's trying to teach us about him. See, God is a father. So he wants us fathers to behave and act a certain way because as we act a certain way, we're teaching those who are underneath us how he acts. It's a relationship. So as I'm learning those type of things, it's helping me to grow closer to God. As a child, I'm getting to understand a little bit better what it means to be a child of God. Every relationship that you have, remember, the Apostle Paul talked about how the church, marriage, is a picture of the church and Jesus Christ. Every relationship we have teaches us something about God. So when we fail at relationships, what we're really doing, we're failing in getting to know God. So it becomes vitally important that we work on our relationships because as I work on my relationships, I'm learning to be better with the God that I say I love. I appreciate two people saying amen. Thank you. Look in verse number two there in Genesis. And the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So I say you have to create it. In relationships, nothing happens just because you want it to. Boy, I want to have a good marriage. Okay. Good luck with that. Desire does not make you what you want to be. It takes effort and work. Everything in life that's worth something, you got to work for. And the truth of the matter is, too many people have thought their good intentions will cause good things to happen. And some of you sitting out there, I'm not trying to criticize, but you're even thinking in your mind, but I wanted something good to happen. It doesn't make it happen. You have to create it. God needed an environment for man. He didn't say, boy, I sure hope if I create man, he'll be able to figure it all out and put it together so, you know, it'll work out good for him. No, no, no. He set things up. He created so that the environment that man needed was there. Brothers and sisters, as you attempt this thing called Christian life, you have to spend some time creating something that causes the relationships that are around you to be what they need to be. So this first point I want to point out to you is that God created light, and he said that the light would separate from the darkness. Now, my first point is you have to let light create your relationship. Light create your relationship. What do you mean by that? We get light from the Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As the word permeates through us, it creates light, and it causes us to have the type of relationships that we all truly desire and want. Do you have light guiding you? Too many folks, unfortunately, are living in darkness. Christians are in darkness. Not because they're unsaved, but because they're practicing relationships without the light, and you will never, ever, 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 ever have a good relationship if you do it beside the light. It won't work. You can try and you can try and you can want and you can desire and you can do everything you think is possible. But if you are not creating it with light, you will never see the type of relationships you want to have. It takes light to create your relationship. Why does it take light? Because darkness is conquered by light. You go into a house or a room and it's dark. You flip on the switch, all of a sudden the darkness goes away and you can see. Brothers and sisters, many times relationships fall apart because you never took the time to put some light on it, and you're living in darkness, you're acting in darkness, you're progressing in darkness, and sooner or later darkness is going to bite you. Somewhere you got to take the time to figure out, what does the light say about my relationship? I talked about Ephesians and stuff. You know, we talk all the time. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I tell my kids that. Bless God. No, I'm just kidding. You know. But we forget, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Light. See, some of us were of the mindset that, well, as long as I kept them in subjection, I'm good. But the light tells us that not only are you to keep them in subjection, you need to act right so then they don't hate you when they grow up. It's not enough just to keep them in subjection. You got to be doing your part, too. Light reveals that. It's not enough just to be one-sided. See, sometimes we get too in a corner on one thing, and the Bible is more in the middle, and we're way over here, and I just don't understand why this isn't working. It's because you haven't reached out to the light. The light will help you to create the relationship you want. Darkness is killing us around this world. It is smothering God's people. But you can be set free if you'll open up the light and let it shine brightly into your relationships. It'll make a change. It'll do something great on your behalf. Light is very, very important to create the relationship that God wants. I find it interesting that the first thing God did when he set up for man, he put light there. Oh, well, that was just happenstance. He just did that. God does nothing by happenstance. Brothers and sisters, are you getting your relationships full of light? That's why church is important. Because light is discussed, light is open, light is revealed, light is shown. Yeah, it's important. Sometimes we read the Bible at home. Let's be real about it, folks. There's things we don't understand. Church helps you with that. And as you get a greater understanding, you got more light. As you have more light, you can put it into your relationship. As you put it into your relationship could be better. Now you're creating something. Light. 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 Where are you getting your light from? Or are you walking around in darkness? I'm not in darkness. I'm here. I'm living in the church. Yeah, but every time you react in your relationships, you don't react according to light. You react according to darkness. And it takes a real person of God to realize that I'll never succeed like I want to succeed until I decide that my relationships will be created by light. It takes light. You know, I sit over there sometimes, man, preacher gets ready to start preaching. I've said this before. Y'all believe, my wife will tell you, she laughs at me. My leg is shaking, so I'm ready to go. Man, I'm excited about it because I feel like something that I need is about to be said, and life is going to be different for me because I heard it, and I can take it home and use it and do something great because light is going to enter in, see. See, some folk come and they're like, you know, this guy, what are you talking about? What in the world? It's like some of y'all looking right now. And it just, light will help you. My marriage is on the rocks. Put some light in it. My kids are messed up. Put some light on it. I don't know how to deal with my boss at work. Find some light. Oh, he cussed me out, so I'm going to cuss him out. No. Light, friend. Light, light, light. You need light, not darkness. In case you can't tell, I'm excited about that. Light. Let me say secondly, would you look at verse number 6? The Bible says that God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters, which were under the firmament, from the waters, which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. My second thing, you must create something to aspire to. You must create something to aspire to. The Bible says God separated the waters. He made the firmament, and he called it heaven. Of course, the heaven is referred to there as talking about a space, basically. And the Bible says, listen to this, in Psalms chapter number 8, verse number 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast to ordain. He said, man, when I start to think about it, and you know the next verse says, for what is man, or the son of man, that thou art mindful of him. He said, it starts to get me thinking about stuff. It starts to think about how low I am and how there's so much more that I can do, so much more that I can be. And it just causes me to kind of have a little bit of introspection and to see myself for what I am. Brothers and sisters, in your relationships, you got to create something to aspire to. Is there any goals? Is there any banners? Is there anything lifted up that they can look at and say, hey, this is what we're trying to be? I tell my kids all the time, I want you to be good Christians. I want you to be good citizens. We do certain things a certain way because I aspire for you to be productive. They're not going to say another one of them bad black kids. They're going to say y'all somebody because I aspire for you to be somebody. I have a dream for you. I see something up there and I'm trying to point it out and say, hey, you can do this. You can make this happen. You can be somebody. Brothers and sisters, God created that space that he called heaven up there. And the man, when he looked at it, he said, wow, when I consider. You ever stop on a, some of y'all live out in the country and things of that nature, and you look up and you see the stars and you see the moon and you see the sun. And you think to yourself, how majestic, how awesome. And it shows how insignificant you are when you think about how great that is. Doesn't it make you want to be more? I don't know about you. I get challenged sometimes. You see people doing awesome things, and you think to yourself, man, I'm only doing this. This dude's got like 12 things he's doing. What? It inspires. It causes me to want to be more than what I am. Every relationship must create aspiration in it. It has to be something that people can look at. My question to you is, if you're in the relationship, is there anything in you that somebody else can aspire to? Husband, can the wife aspire to anything you are? Wife, can the husband aspire to anything you are? Kids, can your brothers and sisters look at you and think, wow, that's something to be? Can the kids look at the parents and say, that's something I'd like to be? Y'all don't understand. I have sleepless nights over this. It chills my bones to think that my kids would grow up and they would look at me, they would look at their mom, and they wouldn't see something that they could aspire to. It scares me. So I've tried. I am trying to create an environment where they have something they can aspire to. That they can go another level, that they can look at and say, man, if I ended up like dad, that wouldn't be so bad. That wouldn't be so bad. I see where he came from. I see how he's living his life. I like where he's going. Man, I can do that. Teachers, do you say or do anything that your class aspires to? Preachers, are you aspiring to anything? Are you putting something out there that people can look at and go, oh, yeah, that's what I can do? You have to create it, folks. It's not going to happen just because, well, I want to be a good example. I sure hope that. No. What are you creating? God didn't say, boy, I hope man gets motivated. He put something in the sky to motivate him. What are you putting in your life for those that you're in relationship with that motivates them and says to them, hey, I can do that? I don't know how many times I've had talks with people and try to help them. At my job, I train people. It's one of the many things I have to do. And I'll be honest with you, if you do that type of stuff, you know sometimes that's very frustrating, training people, you know. And I'll be honest with you, there's knuckleheads that come in sometimes and they don't like to listen, and they don't want to do stuff like how they're supposed to and this, that, and the other. But I tried to set a goal in front of them. Hey, if you'll listen to me, if you'll follow what I'm trying to show you, you'll be able to do what I'm doing, maybe even better. I'm setting an aspiration. I'm setting a goal there because my boss is counting on me to make them ready to do the work at a high level. And if I don't have any goals for them, guess what? They're going to achieve what I put out there, nothing. So I have to make something there that they can aspire to. I hope when I teach my folks in my class, look at it and go, man, if I could do that, that'd be all right. Aspire to. Put out there. Let me say thirdly, if you look at verse number 11, same chapter. And God said, let the herb bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the herb brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. My third point to you is you must create a way for people to grow. You must create a way for people to grow. Can I tell you one of the number one killers of relationships is that somebody in the relationship feels like they've reached the limit of growing. A husband doesn't treat his wife right, so the wife feels like I cannot be what I need to be, and so they decide, well, I can do better with somebody else. Well, amen. Children are limited and have a roof put on top of them, and they feel like they can't mature and they can't grow. So now they listen to friends and outside influences more than they listen to you. because you've never created an environment where they can grow. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of people in your relationships growing. That's what should happen. They should be growing. They should be taking steps. They should be getting better. They should be more different than they were the day before. And the truth of the matter is sometimes in selfishness, we hold people down in an attempt to say, oh, well, I'm still ahead of you. And if you do that, you'll kill your relationships. God built the plant life. And he said, we got to get this ecosystem going, so you're going to reproduce the kind after your kind, and you're going to reproduce it, you're going to reproduce. It had to grow and to mature because why? It was needed because man was going to need what those trees and those plants were going to provide. Brothers and sisters, the people in relationship with you need what you are trying to give them. Help them to grow. Don't be selfish. Don't try to push folks down. Don't ever get jealous if somebody in a relationship with you has something good happen for them. Well, you know, we were friends, but then he got to preach on Sunday and I didn't, so now I hate him. Amen, Brother Jameson. No, I'm just playing. I'm just kidding. He never said that. He thought it, but no. Somewhere along the way, we've got to take the time to let folks grow. We've got to create an environment where it's not scary. It's not a bad thing. It's not, oh, well, if you're growing, my daughter's going to be going to camp here. This will be the first time because she's always gone to primary camp before. This will be the first time she's leaving home. I'll be honest with you. I'm not real thrilled about that. You know? My baby girl is leaving me, and I'm sad already. And she hasn't even left, but I'm sad. I'm so sad. Oh, I was sitting at home popping pills. No, I'm just kidding. But if she's going to become what she needs to become, I got to let her grow. See, sometimes parents, even in love, we can suffocate folks. And they don't become what they need to become. It's good for her to go. So I'll cry and be a big baby and she'll go, but she'll grow. She'll grow. My friends, I'm just trying to tell you that you have to create something where people can grow. Don't let yourself get caught up in just trying to do your thing that you're not thinking about who you're in relationship with and you don't allow the other person to grow. I'm not perfect at this. I'm trying to create this. I don't have it all together. They'll tell you, he don't have it all together. But I'm trying. I'm trying. Let me say fourthly, if you look in, I didn't write my verses down. All right. All right, look at verse number 16. The Bible says that God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Let me say fourthly, you must create order, stability, and authority in relationships. Let me say that again. You must create order, stability, and authority in relationships. Would you look again in verse number 14? The Bible said there, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. That's order. God is awesome, man. He said, you know, this earth thing has got to work a certain way. There's got to be a seed time. There's got to be a harvest time. There's got to be a cold time. There's going to be a hot time. He says, so I'm going to set up the earth in a way that there's seasons. And we know from the Bible that seasons come to each and every one of us. We go through up times, we go through down times, we go through good times, we go through bad times, we go through hot times, we go through cold times. There's a season for everything under the sun. And when you create order in your relationship, seasons are teaching us that there's difference now in what you're going through, but you can still be the same person. Sometimes it's not always good, but you don't have to change. That's order. Are you showing that in your relationships? Are you helping people who are around you to know order? God is not the author of confusion. He's not about chaos. There's order. There's systematic. There's a way that he does things. Brothers and sisters, I really believe one of the reasons that our relationships are falling apart is because people have lost order. Seasons come and seasons go, but you can be the same. It gets cold, put a coat on. It gets hot, take the coat off. You can be the same. It'll rain sometimes like it did yesterday. That's okay. You'll survive it. In case you're not figuring out, I'm talking about life. I'm not just talking about the seasons out there. Life, you'll survive it. You will. Order. 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 You got to create that. You got to create something that folks can look at and they can say, wow, there's a structure. There's something here. Then look at verse number 15. The Bible said there, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So God provided stability. You know, every day that light was going to be there. Day in and day out, what are you providing to those in relationship with you? Can your boss count on you day in and day out? Or are you one of these guys, you know, I laugh so much at my job, man, people just don't come to work. Then they broke, they can't pay their bills, and they laugh, you know, oh, I don't understand why I can't. Like, dude, you ain't been to work in 4 days. Of course you can't pay your bills. Stability. You know, when I get done with work, I go home. I like being with my family. I don't know if they like being with me, but I like being with them. I go home. Why? Stability. They know every day at a certain amount of time, Dad's going to come through that door, and I'm going to be there. They don't have to worry about one night he's home, one night he's not. He's over here doing this. He's over there doing that. Stability. I want them to know you can count on me. Stability. My friends aren't more important than them. My activities aren't more important than them. Stability. My Sunday school class, they will tell you, if we take a vacation or something, I almost apologize because I want them to know week after week after week after week after week, Brother Larry's going to be there. I'm going to open the word and I'm going to give you guys what I got and whatever the Lord put on my heart, and you matter to me. I'm not going to ask you to be in a class and then me not be faithful to it. Amen, teachers. You know, that's kind of messed up. We do stuff like that sometimes, you know. Well, you need to be here, but then we ain't there half the time. Like, okay. Stability. Provide stability for your relationships. You say lastly, authority. Authority. The Bible talked about that the light would rule over the day. Look, there has to be authority. That's not about I'm in charge of you and you better do as I say. No. That goes back to order and stability. Look, if there's no rhyme or reason to the way we do things, then how will we ever accomplish anything? Think about even here in the church. You know, pastor is our leader, and he comes and he has his thoughts and his ideas. And maybe we sit out there sometimes and go, I don't know. But think about how many people are sitting out here. How many different opinions are there? And we're all sitting out here, well, I think he should do that. Well, I think he should do this. Well, I think he should do this. Well, I don't understand why he's doing this. Well, I don't understand. There has to be authority because somebody has to say, okay, I get what you're saying, but this is what we're going to do. I told you I do some training and stuff. People have to come to me at work and things of that nature. And unfortunately, at times, you know, you got to correct people and things of that. You know, I try to be cool with them. I try to do everything I can to be helpful and to be nice. But there's times where, you know, I came by the other day and a couple of them were given assignments, and they're all sitting around talking, feet up, having a good time. Like, no, we got work to do. And I know it didn't make me popular, but somebody has to be the authority. Somebody has to set something in place. Brothers and sisters, a lot more relationships would do well if there was actually an authority instead of everybody having mob rule and just deciding whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Que sera, sera, whatever will be nonsense. Somebody has to have some authority. And guess what? It might take a little bit of backbone. It might take a little bit of being okay that folks might not like what you had to say. I was telling my class today, you know, if you're a parent and you're scared of your kids, you probably shouldn't have had them. Just telling you. A lot of folks are worried and nervous about their children. Oh, they're going to get mad at me. They'll get over it. You know, they ain't got no choice living in my house. I'll tell you. They go get over it. You know, one way or the other. Authority. Let me say fifthly, you must create blessings in your relationship. You must create blessings in your relationship. Look at verse number 22. Verse number 22. I'm almost done. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Over and over again in the Bible, you find examples where somebody blessed someone else. Many times it was maybe a dad or a patriarch or whatever speaking to someone else, and they would speak words of blessing. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28:6, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou comest out. That's Moses' prayer on the children of Israel right before he's getting ready to die. My brothers and sisters, our relationships would do so much better if we would speak blessings over them again. Do you bless the people you're in relationship with? The people that I train at work, I have a saying that I say to them all the time, and they find it funny. I think they do. Maybe they cuss me when I'm not around, but they find it. I think they like it, and I always tell them, make me proud. You know, they're like, all right. And I mean, literally, before they go do a task, are you going to say it? Like, all right, make me proud, guys. You know, they go out and do their task. And when they do well at it, I try to go out of my way to praise them. Man, that was a good job what you did there. Wow, because you found this, now you saved us X amount of dollars, and now this is going to work better, and this is going to happen. Why? Because I'm trying to send blessings their way. Now, they may not be Christian and understand what I'm saying to you right now, but whether they know it or not, I'm trying to bless them. I'm speaking good over them. I'm trying to let them know. Because when's the last time you spoke good over your family? You're blessed coming in. You're blessed coming out. Most of the time we're yelling and screaming at them. Let's speak blessing on them. Man, you don't think you can do this? Son? Yes, you can. You're not only going to do it, you're going to succeed at this thing. Speak blessing. Your wife is scared of some task that she's about to do. Husband, where's your blessing at? You got this. Don't worry about it. If anybody can do it, you can. I believe in you. I know what you can do. Blessing. You have to create blessing in your relationships. You have to decide that, hey, when I am speaking to people, when I am dealing with folks that I'm in relationship with, I want them to know that I'm pulling for them and I'm doing everything I can to make it good for them. Speak blessing over them. I don't know how many times I've come in the middle of the night and I pray over my kids and I ask God to just do something great with them. My son gets discouraged because he's not doing well in a class, or maybe his basketball's not going the way he wants it to. And I tell him all the time, man, you got this. You can do it. Keep practicing. Get on out here. I'll go with you. Let's do it. You got this. My daughter feels like she's not good at something. Man, baby girl, you don't say that. You're great. If I'm going to get on them, I got to bless them too. And I'm using, I said I would use examples from my family, but think about every relationship that you have. You could be speaking blessings. You can be making sure that you bless the folks that you're in relationship with. What a difference. It might stop some of the animosity that's in some of your relationships. I remember when Esther first wanted to do the nursery and she was scared. Could she do it? I said, man, come on. If anybody could do it. She's so organized and got her stuff together. I'm like, man, I'm scared for them. You're going to overdo it. Blessing. 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 Speak something good over the people in your lives. Let them know that you care. Let them know that there's somebody. It matters. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Because God cares about relationships. One of the greatest compliments a preacher ever gave me, and it just blessed my heart, he said, when I look at your kids, I see they have confidence. And he said, I can tell that you're doing something. That really blessed my heart because that's what I want. I want them to feel empowered, not jerks and running around talking smack to people. If they're disrespectful to you, you let me know. We'll solve that real quick. But hopefully they're kind and they're good and they do the things that they're supposed to do, but that they feel good about themselves, that they know that they can accomplish and they can do right because dad and mom have tried to speak blessing to them. To my friends, I've tried to be a blessing. Folks, you must create a blessing. They let me say lastly, you must create an understanding of whose image they are, an understanding of whose image they are. In verse 27, the Bible says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, in every relationship that you deal with, no matter how much you dislike the person, never forget whose image they're created in. That would stop a lot of the hatred that folk have in their heart because you think somebody don't look like you, they're not worth the same as you, but the truth of the matter is they were created after the same God as you. You better be careful about that. You better be real careful about that. They were created in his image. So as much as you may annoy me, as much as I think I don't like you, as much as there may be problems, I got to get over that because if I remember and understand that you're created in God's image, I got to be careful how I deal with you. I wouldn't mess with God. That's just my opinion. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. I wouldn't mess with God. They're created in his image. That's why I teach my family. We don't make fun of people for things they can't control. Amen. Amen. We don't do that. I can't stand that. Some people look a certain way. You look how God wanted you to look, and you're created in his image. If I understand that correctly, then I got no right to attack you because you're created in his image. And God ain't never made junk. And I know that ain't great English, but it'll work. He's created in his image. We must create an environment where we understand that, where we teach them that. Teach your young people to respect people. Because everyone was created in his image. The people that don't look like us, the people that we think are a little weird and this, that, and the other. I'm not saying you can't call out sin, but what I'm talking about is don't ever let it get personal where you're attacking the one whose image they're created in. That's God's child. Be careful about that.
Well, I just don't agree with all that.
Okay, well, you can argue it with the Lord, but he created all folk in his image. A lot of people would do a lot better if they would understand that. You know, some of us, you're living too much off of what granddaddy told you and not what the Bible said. Some of you got stuff in your past where you've been taught that you're better than somebody else. You need to get back to what the Bible says and let that stuff go. Because we're created in God's image.
Well, I just think, you know, certain people, you know, they're cursed. They got a,
man, they're created in God's image. Better be careful about that. And being created in God's image, they're deserving of your respect. They're deserving of it. I give you this point and I'm done. It says that God created everything for the man. So he put man at a lofty position. Think about that. The sun, the moon, the stars. All of you who are going to Sunday school, you're learning Revelation right now. Think about the fact, because of the sin of man, the universe is paying the price. Or going to pay the price someday. You can look at the earth. Some people worship the earth. The earth is so big, but the earth wasn't made. Man wasn't made for the earth. The earth was made for man. God will punish the earth because of man. So if God put us in such a position that everything he created was made to make things better for us, then when you do wrong in your relationships towards the people that God thought so highly of, that he gave them everything, what does that mean for you? Trees, plants, flowers, animals, we were to subdue them, have dominion, all of it was ours. All of it. And if that be so, every time we mess up on relationships, every time we are ugly and mean and unkind and look down and give people grief, every time we do that, are we not saying that the man is not at the position that God put him at? Are we not saying that, you know, I know God said you were worthy of all of this, but I don't think so. We're pulling down people from what God designed for them to be. I share my heart today. I don't have all the answers. I am not coming in a cocky way saying, oh, I got it all figured out. Y'all need to listen to me. I am trying to create something. And as I'm trying to create, God has just given me some thoughts about some things that hopefully would be a help to most of you. Brothers and sisters, you can look at this as like, yeah, I know that stuff. Oh, big deal. We're about to have an altar call. But I would dare say somewhere in all of our lives, there's a relationship that could be worked better. I would dare say that probably some of the things that I talked about, you know, if you're honest, you haven't done as well as you should. You haven't. And this isn't about trying to walk around all guilty of anything. This is about, okay, tomorrow's a new day. Let's start over. Let's take a step forward. Let's do better this time around. Because God created a whole world to take care of the greatest of his creation, man. If God cared that much about us, I think we should too. I think we should too. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And Father, Lord, I'm so grateful to preach your word, Lord. I know I probably stumbled a bit and didn't say everything I needed to say, but Lord, I just ask that what was said would be a help and a blessing to someone. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask, is there anybody here that would say, Brother Larry, I heard what you said, and I need to create some things in my relationships. If that's you, would you raise your hand today? If that's you, would you raise your hand today? Thank you. In a second, I'm going to finish praying, and the ladies will start playing. And when they play, don't sit in your seat. Come on down and ask God to help you create what you need to create so your relationships can be better. Lord, please use this altar call for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ladies are playing. Come on down. Don't sit in your seat. You raised your hand. Come on down. Come. Have a talk with God. Tell him, hey, I need to be better. I can create something. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be scared. Come on through. You have to create it. It's not going to happen just because you want it to. It happens because you're creating it. It takes time. It takes effort.
Thank you, ladies. You look up this way. Thank you, Brother Johnson, for the message this morning. And can't help but think about, as you're preaching about the family, and you kind of mentioned in the beginning of your message, but really how God's brought a miraculous thing for you in your life, just in the area of Christianity. And really just a miracle, honestly. Think about that. Statistically, I mean, you go by statistics. Statistically, shouldn't be here. You go by those statistics. But through the light, God's light, as he talked about. What better way, as I was hearing him preach, though, to be able to influence people than through God's light? As I had the opportunity to teach pastor's class this morning, we talked about the devil, the adversary. You're going to combat him. The only way you're going to combat him, as he did, was to say, thus or it is written. This is what God's word says. We can't accomplish anything for Christ, whether that's with our family or any relationship, other than through God's holy word, through his book. It's not going to be successful. And that's what we heard today. It's not going to be successful. And I'm in the same boat he is. I look at so many out there in this crowd that you're examples for us. The man who stands behind this pulpit, sure, he has some things that are faults and things he can point back. But you know what? He's a great example. Great example. Think of six kids. They're in some capacity or way serving. Why wouldn't you want to look at that as an example? Why would you not want to pattern that? Why would we not want to look that direction? I know he patterned his after Brother Brown, and my wife and I talk about that. Our goal is Pastor Angel, Mrs. Angel. That's our goal. That's our passion. Because receiving those things have been passed to us. They've had some success in relationships as well. They've done those things. They've gone the path. And Brother Johnson, don't feel ashamed at all. You are a miracle in the way that God has allowed you to help others. You can be an example for others, and he is. I'm thankful for that. So many others in this church as well. Great message for us this morning, and I hope we take it, not just sit in our seats with it. We go home and we do something with it as well.